This is Michelle Jackson with the Center for American Progress. African Americans have a long history in the United States. According to the CDC, in 2012, the population of African Americans, including those of more than one race, was estimated at 44.5 million, making up 14.2% of the U.S. total population. Those who identified only as African American made up 13.1% of the U.S. population, or over 39 million people. Economically speaking, the U.S. is more unequal than most of its developed world peers. According to data from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the U.S. ranked 10th out of 31 OECD countries in income equality based on market incomes. That is, before taking into account the redistributive effects of tax policies and income transfer programs such as Social Security and unemployment insurance. After accounting for taxes and transfers, the U.S. had the second highest level of inequality after Chile. The black-white income gap in the United States has persisted. The difference in median household incomes between whites and blacks has grown from $19,000 in 1967 to roughly $27,000 in 2011, as measured in 2012 dollars. Black median household income was 59% of the median white household income in 2011, up modestly from 55% in 1967, and as recently as 2007, black income was 63% of that of white income. Unfortunately, these economic disparities continue to persist. The most dramatic economic gaps between black and whites is associated with wealth disparities. The difference between the value of household assets and debts are the most pronounced indicator of black-white economic inequality in the United States. This data can be also drawn from the Survey of Income and Program Participation in 2009, and it established that the wealth or net worth held by median white household incomes was $113,000, while it was a mere $5,677 for the median black household. Therefore, the average white household had a net worth close to 20 times that of the average black household. So, what can we do to help alleviate some of these economic disparities and inequalities between blacks and white household incomes? One idea that is being purported is the view of the transference of land to African Americans. In the United States, the U.S. federal government has direct ownership of almost 650 million acres of land, and that's nearly 30% of its total territory. The federal lands presently are used as anywhere from military bases or testing grounds, nature and park reserves, and Indian reservations, or are in many cases leased to the private sector for commercial usage, including forestry, mining, and agriculture. They're managed by many different administrations, such as the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Forest Service, Fish and Wildlife Service, etc. So it is possible that if we were to explore the matter of transferring public lands to African Americans as a way to help build wealth financially, increase parity economically over a period of time, that this may be an aggressive but interesting policy, particularly considering that there are many Americans today who believe that none of the people who affected slavery are alive, and therefore no one should bear any sort of financial cost to making amends for what occurred over several hundred years during our nation's history. While this seems very controversial, of course, consider that there have always been conflicting public values and views concerning federal lands, which raise many questions and issues, including the extent to which the federal government should even own land, whether to focus the resources on maintaining existing infrastructure, and of course, homeland security, as well as lands or acquisition of new areas, and how to balance the use and protection to, again, ensure the security of our borders along federal lands. Historically, federal lands and resources have been an important part of American history, and the formation of the U.S. federal government was particularly influenced by the struggle for control over what were then known as the Western lands, or the lands between the Appalachian Mountains and the Mississippi River, that were claimed by original colonies. Subsequent federal land laws reflected two visions, reserving some federal lands, national forests, and also selling or otherwise disposing of lands to raise money or to encourage transportation development and settlement. Similarly, federal lands could be used today, again, as a way to balance some of the economic disparities, leveraging, for example, the vestiges of the Homestead Act, which occurred in the late 1800s, which Congress enacted a number of laws to encourage and accelerate settlement of the West by literally disposing of federal lands. So then approximately 816 million acres of public domain lands were transferred to private ownership, individuals, railroads, etc. And similarly, something could be done with African Americans in terms of devising policies that would determine the specific criteria by which individuals would be able to receive land. And land, as we know, can be leveraged, it can be sold, it can be developed. There could be win-win outcomes for public land use being distributed to African Americans.